A lot of things we may not have in common. You know, you may like our style of music. You may not. You may like the fish. Various things. But one thing we've got in common today, Jude called salvation. Well, I'm glad to be saved, aren't you? It's been a joy to be with you already today. And yes, we are a Yankee, I guess, if you so down this way, I guess. They say the South will rise again. I don't know. But it is a joy. I feel right at home. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'd like to speak on a story today that is very familiar. You have read it many times. About a fellow by the name of Goliath and his battle. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter today, but I'd like to speak on this thought. There was something that brought this man down, Brother Rusty. Something that brought him down to the ground. He had a device. He had an end. Here was stood a 9.5-foot tall man, if you'll figure this up. 9.5 feet tall, going up against a little runt by the name of David. But how many know that the hand of God was upon David? He had God's approval. And we read the story here in 1 Samuel. I'm not going to read all of it, but I want you to take a look at four verses found in the various parts of this chapter. In verse 8, the writing says, "He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me." If we'll look down at verse 10. "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together." And then in verses 14 and 15, David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Let me go and read verse 16. "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. In Paul's writing, we find in 1 Corinthians, that goes right along with our thought today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 through verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 through 29. Paul said this, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." And he went on to say in verses 28 and 9, "The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not. And the reason for that is to bring to naught," Paul said, "the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." If God would help us just a few moments today, and I know we have a dinner, and we all like those dinners, don't we? If God would help us today, we would like to speak on this thought. What was Goliath's device? What brought him down to the ground? Here stood a 9.5 tall man. But there was something, Brother Rusty, I believe in his life that we want to look at. Several things that brought about his demise. Now, whether you believe this or not, God has chosen the weak things of the world. The men that may not have a formal education as far as in a seminary. But yet God has chosen them. I knew a man in Atlanta, Georgia that couldn't even write his name on a check. But he was a millionaire. A wonderful man of God that preached the word in its entirety, with power, built a children's home. But yet, the man, Brother Rusty, was a very simple man. Didn't have much of an education. But God hath chosen that individual. So what was it about Goliath that brought him down? What brought about his demise? You know, the Bible tells us for individuals that pride goeth before a fall. Pride goes before a fall. That can bring about a demise to us individually. Not accepting God's word. In other words, rejecting the word of God. Because the Bible says, he that heareth the word and doeth it, the same is a wise man. But rejecting God's word can bring about our demise. Stubbornness, rebellion, unrepentance can bring about our demise individually. You may be here this morning, and Brother Rick's not getting negative on you, but it's a fact. Sometimes we think we have everything all wrapped up. We've got everything in a nutshell. We've got everything just perfect. Money in the bank. A fine family. But if we're not careful, church, there's things that can get in the way. The teacher taught on that this morning. This flesh. Individually, they can bring about our demise. For a nation, folks, we're in bad shape. I'm not going to get off on that today. But for a nation, I believe the simple fact, when they forget God, listen, there's not much of a future. But I certainly believe that through Christ, there's hope for America. Amen? I'm not here preaching just a negative sermon today. I believe if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, God will still hear from heaven. Do we believe that? Folks, God is still on the throne. Sometimes we underestimate. Folks, God has got it all in control. But as a nation, righteousness will exalt us. But the writer said sin is a reproach to any people. I want you to notice this. Five things about Goliath that I believe brought about his demise. First of all, we see down in verse 26, the Bible tells us that he was operating in the flesh. Down in verse 26, and I'm going to turn back there and read this, back to 1 Samuel, if you've got your Bibles there, at that marker, in the same chapter we read at. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, look with me down at verse 26 for just a moment. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Notice that word uncircumcised. That denotes that Goliath, Brother Rusty, was operating in the flesh. Church, anytime we operate in the flesh, we're headed for failure. In Genesis chapter 34, the sons of Jacob could not consent to giving their sister Dinah to one that was uncircumcised because of the reproach it would bring upon them. Should we consider, church, the reproach it brings upon the name of Christ when we operate in the flesh? It got Peter in trouble in the book of Acts chapter 11. For those, the Bible said he was eating with the uncircumcised, and it got him in trouble. God told him, "Peter, what I've cleansed, let not any man call unclean." Yeah. Folks, when God does a work in our life, he does it good. Amen? But I have to believe that Goliath was operating in the flesh. Church, when we operate in the flesh, Romans 8 and verse 8 tells us the flesh cannot please God. How many want to please God today? I think we all do. But Paul said if we're operating in the flesh, we're not pleasing God. But I like verse 9. Thank God we don't have to live in the flesh. Aren't you? Amen. We're not in the flesh, if so be the Spirit. If the Spirit dwells within us. Thank God we can rise above that. Amen? Oh, preacher, you're wrong. You're wrong. And listen, if we live after the flesh, Paul said, we're going to die. Goliath was operating in the flesh. Now, you know, that brings to mind a question. What was Goliath thinking? You know, I have to believe if he was operating in the flesh, he was probably thinking this. I've got a bigger army. I'm taller. I'm bigger. I'm better. I've got the weapons. But yet he didn't realize that to a child of God, our weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Amen. Come on, amen. Sometimes we want to think, well, we're going to go out and fight this battle. You better do it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, listen, our weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual. The pulling down of the strongholds. Are we operating in the flesh today? You see what Goliath thought he had control over, actually had control over him. Will you accept that? What Goliath had control over actually had control over him. Uncircumcised Philistine. No doubt the man had uncircumcised ears, uncircumcised lips, an uncircumcised heart. But how many know this? It's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Amen? Folks, I believe when we get our heart changed, thank God we talk differently. We act differently. Thank God we dress differently. Well, praise the Lord. Amen? Yeah. And then number two, not only was he operating in the flesh, but I want you to notice another verse here. Look at verse 3 in the 17th chapter. And the Philistine stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between those two mountains. What are you saying, preacher? Simply this. Not only was he operating in the flesh, but he was operating on unlevel ground. Amen? Preacher, where are you going to with this? He said, come down to me. He was operating on unlevel ground. Remember in verse 8, he said, come on down to me. You know, I've often said there's no reason for a child of God to leave a mountaintop and deliberately walk into a valley of defeat to fight the devil. Amen? Take the mountain and the high road. The Bible says we're heirs unto God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Satan may hurl those false accusations at you every day. Notice 40 days. 40 days Goliath came out. And he tempted him and tested him and challenged him. But church, we're heirs unto God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think it not strange concerning those fiery darts and the tricks of the devil, Peter said. Accusations at you every day. There's a song that D. Gaskin wrote many, many years ago that said, once again, I face Satan this morning. And I battled him all the day long. Church, we're going to have trouble with the flesh as long as we live. We're going to have that to battle against. Brother Rick's not trying to put myself up on a plane. Listen, had it not been for God, folks, listen, I would be in bad shape, and you would too. But I think sometimes we underestimate the devil, yes? Yeah. Folks, he is out seeking. Now, I want you to get this. He is seeking whom he may devour. That tells me this, church. He's not like the cowardly lion hiding out here behind the tree somewhere hoping Dorothy comes along. He's seeking you out. He's looking for you. But you know what? We don't have to operate on unlevel ground. Some here this morning may think, well, preacher, I'm not good enough. You're not going down this time. You're unworthy. Look at your past. Kind of be like Goliath, I'll feed you to the fowls. Let me tell you this morning, church, and listen to this. Stay the course. Maintain the mountaintop. Don't let the devil get you down in the valley. Praise God. Folks, we all go through valleys. I'll say that. But thank God we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there. Yes, Goliath was operating on an unlevel ground. Church, we're heirs unto God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what a joint heir is? It's like a brother or a sister. And they enter that inheritance with you. They get part of it. Now you may say, how then, preacher, are we joint heirs with Christ? Because he said, I am your brother. I am your sister. I am your... Folks, he's part of us, thank God. That's telling you and I, praise God, that what belongs to Christ is also ours. Amen? Preacher, you're talking like this, name it and claim it, prosperity fellow. Folks, I said, what is rightfully yours, you ought to claim it. You're heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me give you number three. I believe another thing, not only that caused Goliath's demise, was the fact that he was operating in the flesh. And on unlevel ground, look at verse 42 through 46. Another thing I want you to notice. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. He was ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with the staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in what? The name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee. He said this day. He didn't say tomorrow or next week. This day will I, the Lord, deliver thee. And I'll smite thee and take thine hand from thee. I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know what he was doing here, Brother Rusty? I'm going to take his jacket off. Now, this don't mean I'm going to preach longer, but I want to get a little bit more comfortable. Is that all right? Number three, I believe he was underestimating his enemy. Amen? You know, David, he was well-intentioned when he tried on Saul's armor. There wasn't anything wrong with him at least trying. But the main thing is this. Naturally, it was too big for him. Secondly, it did not have God's approval on that armor. Are you getting this? Folks, the things that we feel that we need to do, we ought to do, we should do in God's work isn't always what God wants. It's got to have his approval. All he had was a sling and five smooth stones. He was just a kid. Ruddy, fair. And really, in essence, what he was saying is, David, what match are you against me, buddy? I mean, I'm a mighty man, but you're just a little fellow. David, though, said in verse 45, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. By the way, he's the one you've defied. And this day will the Lord deliver you unto my hand. Now, let me clarify something. Listen close to this. In my 24 years of pastoring, I was ordained in 1984 or 86. And I pastored for about 24 years, and I always told the congregation this. And I do a lot of interim work for pastors. I enjoy that. It's surprising how many pastors just need a break. God has blessed me to go into different denominations, and I appreciate that. But you know, it's the same everywhere I go. Sometime, I've come across individuals, Brother Rusty, they think I'm just going to give the devil a black eye. My friend, without Christ, you're no match for the devil. Amen? Sometimes it's easy. Yes, I understand the fact that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. I agree with that. But sometime, if we're not careful, we underestimate our enemy. David said, I come to you not in the name of David, or not in the name of Israel, not in my dad's name, my mom's name, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. It would behoove you and I not to underestimate that happened to Goliath. No, we're no match for the devil himself. But let us never underestimate that we have something, we possess something inside of us. Thank God. They spoke about the quickening today. Thank God we've got something in us that the world don't have. Thank God. No, there are those that will underestimate. But we've got to come in the name of the Lord, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Now, how do we do that, preacher? Somebody says, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's not scriptural. Preacher, you missed it now. No, I haven't. Listen to me. Submit yourself, therefore, unto the Lord. Amen? And then resist the devil. Now, did you get that? Brother Holt? Submit. Resist. Submit. Resist. I heard it for years. Rick, you're young. You're a young Christian. Just resist the devil. Folks, we better get in and submit ourselves. How's our prayer life? How's our reading? How's our church attendance? I could go on and on and on. Submit and then resist. David had submitted. Saul, in verse 33, he said, you're just a youth. But I like what Paul told Timothy. You know, I see a lot of young people here today, and I work with a lot of young people in high school, middle school, three different corporations. And for the most part, I can say this with authority. We have got a good group of youth out there, but they've got to be led right, taught right. They've got to be trusted. We used to have them cruise Broad Street in Newcastle till the wee hours of the morning. A lot of them just didn't have anything else to do. Folks, there's a good group of youth out there. But what if Paul told Timothy? How many know Timothy was young in the gospel? Very young in the ministry. If he would have said, now, Timothy, you're just this old. Timothy, you're just young. God can't use you. But you know what he said? And I like this. Timothy, he said, I know you're young, but let no man despise your youth. Amen? Sometimes we, including myself, I'm going to be 64 this month. And it was back in my dad's generation, they kind of looked at us, not saying that my dad did, you just can't do anything, you know. I come up through some hard knocks, Brother Rusty. Now, I'm not complaining today. I appreciate the men of God that helped me, that strengthened me. But thank God for the ones that said, Rick, don't you ever let anyone tell you that because you're young, that God can't use you. You trust God. You get in the Word. Trust me. If God has sent you, you've got His approval. Thank God. But sometimes it's easy to underestimate our enemy. David said in verse 29, he knew the purpose God had for him because he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You know, there's a reason I'm here. There's a reason you're here this morning. By the way, David reminded Saul of what God had already done in verses 34 and 35 and how he brought him out of the paws of the lion and the bear. Church, sometimes we have got to look at the devil straight in the eye and remind him of what God has already done. Amen? Amen. It's in that name. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. David says, you have your sword, you've got your spear, you've got your shield. But it's in that name, church, that we come in. It's in that name that blind eyes seen, deaf ears heard. The dumb began to speak. The demons were cast out. The crippled began to walk. The dead were raised back to life. It's in that name. Number four, real quickly. Down in verse 4 through 7, notice something with me. Back in chapter 17. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. Now this is speaking about Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, which was about 9.5 feet tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of the spear, his spear, was like a weaver's beam. His spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. The Bible said he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. This man was decked out in the armor of the world. He had everything on that the world thought he needed. Amen? But one place was unprotected. Amen? Goliath had one unprotected spot right here in his forehead. See, the Lord knoweth that the thoughts of a man, that they're vanity. I think another reason for Goliath's demise was simply this. He had an unprotected mind. Amen? He was struck on himself. The Bible tells you and I to guard our hearts and minds. Paul said the carnal mind is not subject to the things of God. Neither indeed can be. Carnal mind is enmity. It's division against God. Somebody says, well, we've got some carnal Christians. Paul dealt with those in the book of Corinthians. I'm not trying to say that they're not saved. But they can tell you more about a business meeting than what they can a church service. Amen? Let's stop thinking carnally and get our mind protected. To be carnally minded, it's death. But to be spiritually minded, Paul said, is life and is peace. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he went on to say, Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, Church, if we have a mind of Christ, we've got a willing mind. We've got one mind. We have a sound mind. There are those whose mind and conscience has been defiled. But I like what the prophet Isaiah said. Here's you tonight. Here's the mind we ought to have. Let this mind be in us. But Isaiah the prophet went on to say this. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Is your mind protected today? It ought to be. Let me give you one more and we're closing. In verses 50 and 51, notice something here. You may not have caught this the many times you read it. David prevailed over the Philistine. He came with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine. He slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Now notice, get this. Therefore David ran to Goliath. He ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it. Catch this. He drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw the champion was dead, they fled. Now what I really want you to notice is this, is verse 51. David came in the name of the Lord with the sling, five stones. How many know it only took one to do the job? Amen. The Philistine Goliath came in another way. That old uncircumcised fellow. That one whose mind was not protected. But I believe another thing that brought about his demise. Notice his sword was still in its sheath. What does that denote, preacher? Get this. Get this. Please get this. He had an unused weapon. He had so much confidence in himself, he hadn't even taken his sword out of the sheath. Yeah. Amen? Self-confidence. He had not even drawn his sword. See, what Goliath thought he had control over actually had control over him. Have you ever seen anyone all stuck on themselves? Yeah, I've come across a few people like that. The writer in Proverbs says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be, what? Delivered. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed, lest he fall. If only Goliath could have been reminded of what Paul's letter stated, or he later stated, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Goliath didn't understand that. Is your weapon unused? What about the weapon of prayer? I still say one of the best weapons we have is the prayer. Amen? The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. It seems like the only time we pray, sometime. Now, I know a child of God certainly prays more than this, but it seems like the majority of our world today, the only time they seek God's face is when there's a crisis. After 9/11 happened, masses flocked to the church. But where are they today? Where are they today? Wars and needs in life. We want a village pantry God. What is that? It's a convenience store God. In other words, we want to pull in and get what we need, get a good dose, leave, and not have to come back. Folks, God does not work that way. How is our weapon of prayer? Our weapon of faith? Oh, faith is a mighty weapon. What about the weapon of God's word? Are we using God's word? The Bible calls it that two-edged sword. The Romans used the two-edged sword. They had the, in other words, what that basically meant to them was they had the choice and they could basically come at you and say, it's life or death. But folks, we've got a sword today too. And that's God's word. Are we using it? Let me encourage you today in closing. Let's take the weapon out of our sheath. Goliath's weapon was still in his sheath. But one reason why he fell, he hadn't even drawn his weapon. Amen? Take it out of the sheath and use it. How many understand that Satan questioned the validity of God's word from the very beginning in the garden when he said, "Hast thou truly said? Hast thou truly said?" See, he sowed that small seed of doubt. I like what your Sunday school teacher said this morning. This is the inspired word of God. You may say, "Preacher, man wrote." Yes, they held the pen. They held the pen. Amen. But God wrote the book. Amen. Satan questioned the validity. See, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but the Bible said against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to take on the whole armor of God. Whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. Church, did you realize this is how God speaks today? Amen. Give me a Bible for that preacher. I will. Glad you ask. We're living in a day of signs and visions and wonders. Everybody wants a vision. Everybody wants a sign. The Jew required a sign. Come on. I said the Jew required a sign. We're not to be living our lives based upon signs and visions and dreams and wonders. God at sundry times, here's the word, Hebrews. God at sundry times and in divers manners spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, he's speaking through his Son, Jesus Christ. John 1:1 tells us, his word became flesh and dwelt among us. What are you saying, preacher? If we want to hear God speak, right here it is. Amen? Preacher, you act like you're kind of cut and dry. It's God's word. I'm not looking for something mighty to happen. God to reveal some kind of a vision. But it better be backed by God's word. Amen. Brother Holt, we've enjoyed being with you. It's been an honor. Thank you for asking us. We trust that we haven't been real long today. And just you pray for us. We desire your prayers. God bless each one of you.